Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. And if you've been with us, you know we're in an extended series. Normally it's a one-month series. This is a two-month series, 9 broadcasts, on this particular portrait of God. Remember, I see portraits of God throughout all the scriptures. This one is called He is Our Family Pastor. And we have covered 15 of 20 takeaways from all over the scriptures about how this is manifested and pictured for us in the scriptures. And it's just a marvelous focus on how the Lord is our family pastor with a heart for children, parents, and all kinds of families. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to be starting over in Malachi chapter 4, right at the end of your Old Testament. Then we'll go to the New Testament, to Colossians chapter 3, covering numbers 16 and 17. And then next week, we'll wrap it up with the 9th broadcast on this marvelous portrait of God about how He is our family pastor. And as you're making your way there to Malachi 4, just a quick reminder that all of these 27-minute broadcasts are archived on my website at markpg.org. And also, at that website, you can find outlines for all of my radio broadcast series. You can also find a lot of other helps when you go to the landing page. Printed guides is one of the boxes, and you have all kinds of one-page, sometimes two- or three-page helps on all kinds of topics, including the ones that I have been mentioning on the broadcast, so you can just go there. Or instead of clicking on printed guides on that landing page, click on the broadcast box, and then that'll take you to that landing page where you can click on Portraits of God, and then the next page has these archived radio broadcast. So just to make sure you know that my heart is to just give you as many resources as you can use. They're all designed to do one thing, helping you hear God. And by the way, there's a book there too that my wife and I wrote called Unpacked Parenting, that much of the stuff that I'm talking about in this broadcast is covered in this handbook for a quick, easy reference, and it's much more detailed. So you can find all those helps there at markpg.org, helping you hear God. Well, speaking of which, let's just go before the Lord, as is our custom, to ask Him to speak, because we do want to hear His heart. Well, Lord, it is a delight to come and sit at Your feet. We love just, being able to focus on You, listening for Your whispers from Your heart to our heart. And Lord, this particular series about how You are our family pastor has been such a blessing. It's been my joy to share it with my brothers and sisters, because as You are our family pastor, so is it that You want us to be the family pastor on this earth, whether a mom or a dad or a boss or a coach or a teacher. There are those under our charge. We need to shepherd or pastor. And so thank You, Lord, for this journey we're taking together. We're so grateful. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends, just kind of a brief encapsulation of where we've been. I'm not going to go over all 15 that we have been through before, but just to give you an idea, we're talking about how the Lord, our family pastor, yearns for us to know that families are amazingly varied. That was number one. We went all over the scriptures, looking at the family that Ruth was in, the one that Esther was in. Even the Lord Jesus was not in a traditional family. He had half-brothers and sisters. Anyway, you go through scriptures, you'll see 25 or more different kinds of families there. Jesus has a heart for all kinds of families. And then we veered in on how children are a top priority, like Jesus showed us. And number three, that they're to be seriously protected. And we went on to see how they're to be taught as a lifestyle, and how they are teachable and trainable, and how they are moldable and guidable, how they're to be disciplined with wisdom, and so on. So now we come to number 16, and we're in Malachi chapter 4, verse 6. And here's the takeaway that I want you to look for as we read this passage. Children, remember, the Lord, our family pastor, wants us to know that children yearn for loving fathers. Oh, they learn for loving fathers. Malachi 4, 6 says, and he, that is the Lord, will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers. And I want to go ahead and give you number 17, because it's very similar, but it goes into an added dimension. And that's over in Colossians chapter 3, verse 21. And here we're going to see, not only do children yearn for loving fathers, but they yearn for winsome fathers. I love that word, winsomeness. There's a lightheartedness. There's a joy. There's an undercurrent there. There's a delight and an affection that just comes out in the way fathers and others, mothers, and relate to not just children, but to one another. Winsomeness. I believe the Lord is winsome in the way that he deals with us. And Colossians 3:21 puts it this way, fathers, do not provoke. Or there's another word, exasperate, that could be used there. Fathers, do not provoke or exasperate your children, lest they become discouraged. So we're going to unpack these two together because they're so similar. So let's back up one to that point about how children yearn for loving fathers and how the Lord's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. The fact of the matter is, every one of us have father wounds at one depth or another. And to some degree, we have mother wounds as well. But here's an interesting thing that came out from Hallmark, who creates all those greeting cards. Years ago, they decided they're going to do a marvelous community gift to the prison systems. And they sent free Mother's Day cards. As Mother's Day was approaching, a couple of weeks in advance, they sent free boxes of Mother's Day cards to prisons so that the inmates could access them and send their mom a Mother's Day card. And boy, they just gobbled them up and they sent it off. It was a great success. And so they said, we got to do this for Father's Day. So a month or two later, when Father's Day came around, they did the same thing, sent the boxes of Father's Day cards, but very few Father's Day cards were picked up by the inmates and sent. Studies show that many people that have struggled with the law and are incarcerated have had severe father wounds in their lives. And the impact has been so tremendous that it caused them to, well, go over the deep end and just have wounded hearts to the point where they end up wounding others to the point of being incarcerated. Father wounds are a big deal. And of course, we all wound each other, so let's just not pick on fathers. But apparently, the father wound is the biggest, has a tremendous impact. Fathers can cause wounds all kinds of ways, exasperating and discouraging their children by being distant, by being harsh, by being apathetic, all kinds of ways. Don't be emotionally absent from your kids. Be engaged. But when you're engaged, be loving and be winsome so that you don't provoke your children lest they become discouraged. So how do we do that? Well, that's where we're going to drill in deeply today, because I'm going to share with you a metaphor about using coaching. I want to talk about seven different coaching styles as coaching styles are actually what parents and leaders are doing when they're trying to motivate those under their charge to toward good behavior, good character, good practices, more efficiency, whatever you're going for. But yeah, you want to inspire and encourage those under you, whether they're your children, whether they're your employees, whether they're your students, whether they're your the players on your team. You know, how do you motivate and inspire them? Well, here's the thing. There's seven different kinds of coaching styles. But here's the problem. you might have a natural inclination toward a certain type of coaching style. Now, our coaching styles as individuals are going to be very dependent upon our particular spiritual gifts, which we covered last time. Remember, we talked about the seven spiritual gifts out of Romans 12, gave them animal metaphors. Prophecy was the eagle, the born leader types, and strong types declaring the black and white heart truths of God. Talked about the gift of teaching. Tigers are metaphored because they love the meat of the word. They explain the comprehensive biblical insights of God. We talked about exhortation. Dolphins, they're the life of the party folks. They motivate the body of Christ to apply God's truths. They're the life of the party people. But then there are those who have gifts of administration. They're very methodical. They look ahead. They're detailed. They organize and mobilize the body of Christ for ministry. Yeah, those are the gifts of service. They're just joyful workers, projects, behind the scenes kind of thing, performing tasks backstage for others in God's glory. Those with the gift of giving is like a honeybee who makes honey for us. They're generous, they're alert, they're humble. They distribute the tangible gifts of God to others in His name. And then the seventh is the gift of mercy, the dove. Oh, they're sensitive, they're warm, they're compassionate. They comfort and reassure others of their high value to God. Now, obviously, and you can go back to last week's message, these are going to impact the way you see life, the way you interact with others. It's your own language. Some of you speak strong eagles, some of you growling tigers, some of you laughing dolphins, and so on and so forth. Some are very quiet like a dove or a honeybee or a squirrel, and that's going to impact your coaching style. But here's another problem. Your children and your mate don't have the same spiritual gifts that you do. They're not going to have the same reflective coaching style in relating to one another and trying to speak your language, and they're going to have to cultivate that. And that's what this is all about. If you're going to motivate each of those individuals under your charge, whether they're children, whether they're players, whether they're students, whether they're employees, you're going to have to use a coaching style or gift language, if to go to both metaphors here, to try to communicate to them in a way that they will understand you and also feel encouraged and lifted up by you rather than be feeling exasperated or discouraged or beaten down. So let me give you the seven, and as we go along, ask yourself this question. What kinds of coaching have you been under throughout your life? Which kinds of coaches have made the most impact on you, positive or negative? Because that's going to determine how you approach your coaching style. And then what kind of coach are you, reflexively? But then what kind of coaching style do you need to adopt and then adapt given the different child or employee or player or student that you're working with? And that's the challenge. So here we go. Children yearn for winsome fathers, and employees yearn for winsome bosses and winsome teachers and winsome pastors and stuff. So let's take a journey. Here's number one if you're a note taker. And by the way, this is on my website at markpg.org. You can just print out the one page outline of what I'm about to cover because it's so important. All right, number one, hard driver. Some coaching styles are those that produce a hard driving kind of coach, a hard driver. Hard driving types, they end up name calling. Oh, I can't believe you're doing that. You so and so and so and so. They tend to be like a hard-edged football coach, pushing, constantly challenging, critiquing. Come on, come on, come on. You can do better. Come on, let's push the limits. Come, go, go, go. You're better than this. Come on. Okay, so this is going to work with strong and highly self-motivated and visionary children, which is rare. But this just kills tender children, tender-hearted children, which is most. So if you tend to have a hard-driving personality or spiritual gift like an eagle or a tiger, and you're doing this hard-driving stuff on children that aren't wired that way, you're going to be exasperating them and discouraging, my friend. And you need to look to some of the other coaching styles we'll be talking about here in a moment. So the first one, hard-driving, easiest to understand, hard-driving football coach. But now there's a second kind, the high praiser. Instead of a hard driver, the high praiser. These are the men and women who are kind of high energy. They're pep rally types. They seem to know how to speak positively. Positive reinforcement is what comes out of their mouth. That's the way they build a team, or they build up their children and all. That's it, son. Man, you're doing great. Or, you can do this, you know, or amazing. You go, girl, you know. Or when they're making a mistake or something, they say, no worries, just give it another try. I believe in you. You can do this. So obviously high praise is a very effective way to motivate people. Now, it's pretty rare for it to be viewed as overdone to the point of praise ringing hollow. I know that's usually the first pushback you get on this one. Man, if praise is inflated, it just doesn't seem real. Well, there's a balance in there some way, to be sure. So mixing it, a wee bit of correction and critique is good, but it can be done in a positive way. And it also has the benefit of being honest and realistic. But overall, the high praiser is a coaching style that most people will resonate with. And of course, the gift of exhortation or dolphin, those who naturally have it naturally do this. Others who aren't gifted in that way have to cultivate that ability. Okay, number three, the calm professional. Some parents or some coaches, I think of Tom Landry and the old Dallas Cowboys, showing my age now, always wore his fedora cap and his full suit, and he was always calm, very professional. The team, that's how they worked, you know, their goals, their steps, their charts to keep progress. It's kind of a matter-of-fact approach to things, but positive responses to success and to setbacks to stay on track. Sounds like this. Okay, son, now we're making promise here. That's good. Or, okay, yeah, that was a bit of a setback, but look, let's see how we can recover and move on. Or a calm, professional style, a coach would say something like this. Okay, that was a train wreck, but look, it's not the end of the world, buddy. It'll take a while, but we can get back on track. It's okay. That's all right. Shh, let's just settle down. Let's not overreact. Yeah, okay. Man, we need coaches like that, don't we? We need parents like that. We need pastors like that. Number four. Here's the fourth type of coaching style. It's the personal mentor type. Yeah, these are the individuals that love to speak personally and motivationally, focusing on the heart-to-heart reinforcement with reminders and reassurances to them. I mean, it comes across, and it's true, I really care about you as a person, then as a player or student or so. You know, it's you, it's your heart that I'm concerned about. And they'll say things like this, you know what, you are gifted in so many ways, but I am concerned that you're letting your gifts go to waste here. Let's talk about it, shall we? Or, well, it may be that your struggle with this is way more about your attitude than your aptitude. Hey, can we talk? We need people that are willing to talk about the deeper things, but in a way where we feel secure and not threatened, and certainly not exasperated or demeaned or beat down. Okay, we have four of the seven so far. We've got the hard driver, we've got the high praiser, we have the calm professional, we have the personal mentor. Now, number five, we have the thorough teacher. Some parents, some coaches, they're very good and may have the gift of teaching, as a matter of fact. They love to look at things comprehensively, and they don't just focus on fundamental skills, but they'll get into the philosophical and the advanced elements of the subject or the situation or the scripture whatever it is, and they'll go deep. Now, this is kind of when we kind of fall into that lecture method thing where we overteach, we say too much, but let's look at it positively first. The thorough teacher style of coaching is the one who's going to say, honey, remember, when an adult speaks to you, you always stop, look at their eyes, and answer them. So let's try that again. They see life unfolding through their kids and others, and they see teachable moments are there all the time. But of course, you don't want to teach all the time. The scripture says, like apples of gold and setting of silver is a word spoken in right circumstance, and so it is with this teaching element. We do want to teach and train our children as a lifestyle. coaching them as a thorough teacher is a good thing. Saying things like, okay, it didn't quite work, did it? So why don't we walk through that again? Or, actually, son, if you really expect the result, there are two or three things that have to happen here to get you there. So you get the idea. You have this ongoing conversation as a thorough teacher, but again, not too much. You don't want to back up the dump truck of knowledge and just heap it all over them, all right? But it is a good thing to help them understand things as you go along. All right, now we get to number six. Now, number six is what I call the distant delegator. You know, as you think about the coaching metaphor, you know, you think of, for example, college football teams or baseball teams or basketball teams. You got the central coach, you know, and until he retired, you got the Lou Saban, for example, at Alabama, and you can name any of your favorite coaches you want to, but they're surrounded by assistant coaches who delegates. Now, some of them delegate to the point when they get so detached, the players lose sight of them and they lose their impact. You don't want to be too distant a delegator. But the positive side is this enables you as a coach to be objective, a little bit distant, to see the big picture as an overseer, and then delegate the nuts and bolts stuff to the assistants. So you're giving people some breathing space. You're loosening the apron strings of your mom. You're giving them a little more rope to deal with. So not enough to hang themselves, but enough to give them some space to, you know, flex their wings and check out their legs and stuff. You're allowing room to make mistakes. You're a little distant. You've delegated things to them to discover on their own or for others to speak into them because they have other teachers, other coaches in their lives as they get into their middle school years and so on. So this begins very gradually in the middle school years and will expand to the teen years as you train them as emerging adults, my friend. You're gradually distancing yourself and delegating more to them and empowering them more to make decisions on their own or under the tutelage of others in whatever area especially they happen to be working through. So as your children grow, your hovering needs to diminish. They need to learn to apply on their own the things that you have been pouring into them. So that's the distant delegator kind of coaching. In the business world, or in the church world, or in sometimes you got to give some people more latitude than others. Some need to be watched a little more carefully. And this is why we have this spectrum and why we have to cultivate the art of adopting different coaching styles and adapting to different situations. And then we get to number seven, the dry expert, I'll call it. The dry and boring types, seemingly, that may be experts in their field, but don't quite have the enthusiasm and communication skills to capture the imagination. My friend, you need to try to capture the imagination of those that you are teaching and training and working with. And though you may have difficulty in communicating well, I mean, you still need to share your insights and expertise as best you can, especially when correcting them. And we talked about that a little bit earlier. So good coaches, good parents, they're going to correct mistakes. And by the way, I mentioned this earlier, there's a three-step sequence that I picked up from the structure of the Sermon on the Mount, how Jesus opened with comfort. That's the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The scripture says in Matthew 5 that he saw the multitudes, and he saw the multitudes in Matthew 9 and said they were like downcast sheep without a shepherd. So he comforts them first. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The Beatitudes opens the Sermon on the Mount. Then he affirms. He says, you are the light of the world. You are the salt or spice of the earth. Those are positive reinforcements there, not exhortations. They were side door exhortations, but he was saying, no, you are that way because I made you that way. So you affirm people. You comfort them first when you have to have a tough talk with them or an insightful talk or a sensitive talk. You comfort first, then you affirm, then you do the reveal. That's when you are then able to receive all your expertise and your dry expert thing turns into a sensitive communicator as you comfort them first, affirm them second. Hey, you know what? You are so important to us. You have so many gifts. You have such great potential. But I just, here's a little something. You're thinking this, but actually this is what's happening. It's a blind spot. I want to help you with that. That's the reveal. My friend, these seven different coaching styles, the seven heartwired spiritual gifts that are very different that we talked about last week, we have to kind of mix them. We kind of have to let them work in combination with each other as we make the adjustments to make sure we do not exasperate children, provoke children, discourage children, or again, students or players or employees under our leadership. I hope this is going to be helpful to you. I hope you catch the vision of knowing that the Lord, our family pastor, he sees that each of us are very different because he designed us to be very different. And so we need to be interacted with differently, because what motivates one will not motivate the other. In fact, it'll discourage the other, you know? And, you know, like take a doctor and their bedside manner. Some people say, look, doctor, just give it to me straight up. Don't mealy mouth about it. I respect somebody who says it straight. Okay, they want kind of a hard driver kind of guy or calm professional or whatever. Others say, give it to me gently because I'm scared. It's a both and, not an either or. And what a journey. Children yearn for loving fathers, and they yearn for winsome fathers, my friend, and adapting your coaching style will help. Well, Lord, we just thank you for this journey. You're so good to us, Lord, and you speak to us in a way that we can hear you too, and we're listening. So thank you, Lord, for grooming us into the family pastors you want us to be, just like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, and I hope you'll check out my website at markpg.org. Until next time, oh, fall in love with Jesus, your family pastor.